The subject will be, He is Faithful That Promised. Brother Thompson.
That scripture is in Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. What we're going to do is to look at what has God promised. We know that in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. We know in Hebrews 6:17-18, He says, it is impossible for God to lie. 1 Kings 8:56. Of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many fail? Not one. So that's where our focus is going to be today. We're going to look at Israel, look at the world of mankind and the promises that are made to the church. What is a promise? An assurance given by one person to another that the former will or will not perform a specified act. B. It's reasonable ground for hope or expectation, especially of future excellence or satisfaction. See, something promised. Brother Barton, in his little booklet there, the Echoes, what is it, Pilgrim Echoes, there are two classes of promises. And he states, and I'm quoting, and I quote, there are over 3,000 independent promises in the Scriptures. It is said, and of these there are two classes. One, conditional promises. Two, unconditional. Such passages as Isaiah chapter 35, the earth shall blossom as the rose. This will come to pass whether we are good or whether we're bad. The earth will blossom, and there are no conditions attached. This is part of the glad tidings, which shall be again to all people. Such passages as Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, states, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. This is promised only to those who overcome. So, it is a conditional promise. So, with regard to a promise, there are three questions. One, is it conditional or not? If there are conditions, what are they? Three, are we fulfilling these conditions? And that's from the Pilgrim Echoes book. Some more conditional promises. Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs. This is the church. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Conditional. Revelation 2:10. Another conditional promise is, be thou faithful unto death in order to receive that crown of life. Hebrews 3:21. Conditional. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelation 2:11, conditional. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now let's look at some of the unconditional promises. The very one we begin with is Genesis 12:3. In these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There are no conditions attached. Genesis 22:18. In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the nations of the earth, all the nations of the earth be blessed. No conditions. That's going to happen, brother. In 11:9 of Isaiah, a promise, unconditional, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Why? For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There are no conditions attached to that. Isaiah 35:6. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Well, as we said even earlier this morning, I think I quoted Isaiah 60:3. Today, where we are now, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to people. We see that. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. What a blessing, brother. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Has that happened? I haven't seen it in my time. But God cannot lie. It's impossible. He's never broken a promise. And as we discussed it this morning, a temple is still under construction. Another unconditional promise. Do not marvel at this, our Lord himself speaking. I think he should know. For an hour is coming when how many? All who are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Was not the ransom for all? I believe it was. And the ransom of the Lord shall return in Isaiah 35:10 with joy and happiness. I may not have it exactly right, but that's what's going to happen. The ransom shall return. And the ransom was for all. Jeremiah 31:34. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That could not apply before number 10 on that chart. The church, again, brethren, is still in the quarry, those that are left. I think the chairman told me that your next week is that you're dealing with Isaiah 52:7. I believe that's what you said. Blessed are the what? The feet? Okay. Well, I think it's getting to the part where we're now to the heel. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Because of Adam, we all die. Because of Christ, all shall be made alive. And that's going to happen, brother. Isaiah 55:11 tells us, not one word shall return unto him void, but shall do what? It shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. It is impossible for God to lie. Again, I think we quoted this, 21:4 of Revelations. Beautiful scripture. He shall wipe away every tear. Every tear from their eyes. For the world of mankind. And there shall be no longer any death. No more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. Has that happened, brethren? No, brethren. But he tells us not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. In Hebrews 10:19-23, let's read that. Hebrews 10:19-23. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil of his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When God makes a promise, we can rest assured that it will be kept. The reliability of God's word gives us comfort, peace, should give us comfort, peace, and hope. And this hope is backed by all of his sure promises. And he reminds us, you and I, through his word, that he is faithful that promised. He reminds us, as I stated a moment ago in 1 Kings 8:56, according to all that he promised to his people Israel, there hath not failed one word of all of his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God's eternal promises are the foundation upon which all that we hope for is built. The basis for all our hopes lies in the unchangeable character of our God. Malachi 3:6. He changeth not. The Almighty God has a definitely fixed purpose. And all his purposes shall be accomplished. Let's look at Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. And you could look back up further for the context, but I'm going to start right here. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Truly I have spoken. Truly, truly, I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. What more do we need, brother? We walk by faith. Today, and what God has told us, and we've been blessed with that knowledge, with the ear to hear and the eye to see, It's a blessing, brother. It's beyond my comprehension. I, at one time, had the audacity to question God, why me? Sister Sharon Leslie
I told Brother last night, Brother Joe and Sister Kathy, I haven't said that again since she scolded me. She said, "You have the audacity to question God." I haven't used that anymore. The Almighty God changeth not. Why? Because of His attributes, His four attributes. He is perfect in wisdom, justice, love, and power. Deuteronomy 32:4. You may also want to look at Psalms 89:14. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So here, brethren, the unchangeableness of our God is one of the attractive features of His character. Even when the Lord's word or sentence is against us, as in the case of His pronouncement against sin and sinners, and even though His unchangeableness will not permit Him to excuse sin or clear the guilty, this in itself is an assurance to you and I that as God has been unchangeable in regard to the penalty that was pronounced, He will be equally unchangeable concerning all the good promises that He has made to you and I. So the comments from that Hebrews, in reprint 5698 of Hebrews 10:23, Brother Russell writes, the apostle here is here writing to the Hebrew Christians in the early church who had given evidence of wavering, who were failing properly to hold on. Here he is telling them that while they had been faithful at one time, they apparently had become lukewarm, at least respecting the Lord and the Christian way. The firmness of faith in the child of God and the firmness with which he holds the profession of his faith has much to do with his consistency in his Christian life. In reprint 54:97, he tells us, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit of God which is within us. The Lord has given you and I, given us a solid basis for our hope and for our faith. It is a hope which He Himself has inspired. This hope is backed by all His sure promises. And I can't read my own writing here, that's bad. So it was backed by all of His sure promises and by His oath. And He reminds us, again, that He is faithful that promised. So God's eternal promises are the foundation upon which all that you and I, we hope, either of character or of coming glory, is built. And what a strong foundation. Let's look at Israel. What did He promise Israel? Well, we'll be a little bit redundant here. We're going to repeat here, but that's okay. I do that because of the leaky vessel that I have. Jeremiah 16, verses 9 through 18, and we won't read all that. But what happened to Israel there? These were threats. Because of their disobedience, were they not cast out? But He also told them, I'm going to bring you back. They were brought back, and He was going to use hunters and fishermen. Did this occur? I believe it did. We look at Matthew 23:38. The house was going to be left unto them desolate as a result of what happened, what transpired in AD 33. But they still had 3.5 years more to go after for 70 weeks, which ended in A.D. 36. But exclusive favor was given to them until A.D. 36, before the Gentiles, before he went out to the Gentiles to do what? To take out of them a people for his name. We believe in A.D. 36 or sometimes thereafter that Cornelius, being the first Gentile convert. But by the same token, he also promised Israel that he's going to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which had fallen down in Acts 15. In Acts 15 and 14, I believe he tells us that he went to take out a people for his name after he had gone to the Jews. He didn't get what he needed there. He went to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them the opportunity or privilege to become sons of God. So here again, over in Acts 15, 14, he went out to the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And the very first word in Acts 15, 16, as a result of that tabernacle had become desolate, the very first word there is, after this, what is he going to do? I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. So that's a promise. It's impossible for God to lie. Not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. Let's look at some of the good promises that were given to Israel. Joshua, chapter 23, verses 14 and 15. Not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you, and not one word has failed. Here's a threat. Well, in verse 15, it's a threat. And it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Did that occur? It certainly did. But he did tell them he was going to bring them back. Are they back as a nation? They don't recognize the Messiah, but the promise is in Zechariah 12:10, eventually they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. Joshua 21:45. And here again, the writer's telling us not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Joshua 23, chapter 23, verse 16. When you transgress, this is a threat, a promise. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. Did that occur? I believe it did. In Psalms 33:11, these are blessed assurances, brethren. Psalms 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Many are the, this is 19:21 of Proverbs. 19:21. Proverbs 19:21.
Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. You might want to look at verses 1 through 6 also there. Well, the whole thing there, I guess. 14, 28, 30 through 35. You might want to read the whole chapter. In Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. Just as I have planned, so will it stand. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. In Isaiah 55:9. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's read Isaiah 55:10-11. Include that, we talked about it a moment ago. We've said it several times already. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And here in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. Another promise. He told Israel back there then, these are still for Israel here, in Amos 3:2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all of your iniquity. And we know what happened to Israel. In Amos 9:11-15, in that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David and wall up his breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. Well, we spoke about that in Acts 15 a moment ago. After the completion of the taking out of the Gentiles, the people for his name, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. And then the very last verse there, so that the residue, looking at that pyramid, so that the residue of mankind. This is for them. But Israel first. Also in verse 14, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel. And they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. Is Israel back? I believe so. Last time I checked. I will also plant them on their land in verse 15. And they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. That's a promise, brethren. Israel isn't going anywhere. Doesn't make any difference what all of those nations around them said. They are not going to be moved. In fact, it's going to be very hard and very difficult, I guess, for some of those leaders way back when. They're going to all have to become Israelites. That's going to be the capital. Again, in Malachi 3:6, and that's in the song, for I am the Lord, I change not. He's not a man that he should lie. Matthew 5:18. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. There are still a lot of things to be done, brethren. The sacrificing of the Lord's goat is still, it continues today. This is what the world of mankind is waiting for. They don't know it, but this is, once the feet members, only ones that are left, once they're gone, then it comes out in the garments of glory and beauty. We're still in those white robes. We're still sacrificing. In Romans 11:29, Paul tells us, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You can't change God's, what he has in his plan. That's God's plan. Let's look at some of the promises, some more of the promises that have been, what has been fulfilled as far as natural Israel is concerned. Was the seven times fulfilled? They said they were, because, what is that, in 26th chapter of Leviticus? It's four times it's listed that. Seven times because of their disobedience. Seven times 360 would be the 2520 that we use to come from 606 B.C., to 1914. Did that happen? Our Lord, I think that someone was responding to the question this morning that our Lord returned in 1874, but he honored that lease. He honored that lease. 1874 to 1914. Because that's the way it was written. That's what God has promised. Seven times. We have the 70 years of desolation in Jeremiah 25:11-12. The 70 years of desolation that was promised from 606 B.C. to 536 B.C. We do the math and that's 70 years. They were to be cast off in Jeremiah 16:9-18. They were to be cast off, then there were going to be hunters and fishermen that would be used to bring them back. Is this not in verse 18 that they were going to have to pay double? When did the favor begin? Was in 1813 B.C. at the death of Jacob, was it not? that lasted until the death of our Lord in AD 33, 1845 years. If we take in the double, we double that number, we take us all the way to what? 1878. I know that last question this morning was dealing with the third day and when all of these, Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Well, what occurred? 1878 is a very significant date. First, there was a Jewish prime minister in place at the right time, and it's never been one again. 1878. Well, that ended the period of Israel's disfavor in 1878. I think most of us would agree that that's when the sleeping saints were raised in 1878. So all of these things are in harmony. The 70 weeks, that's referred to in Daniel, that was exclusive. They had exclusive favor, the 70 weeks. We believe that occurred in 454 B.C. And that all the way to A.D. 36. Was our Lord cut off in the middle of the week as Daniel prophesied? I believe he was. The 69 weeks in Daniel's 9:25 was from 454 B.C. to 29 A.D., and we have proof of that in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. A.D. 29, I believe we would all agree that that's when our Lord began his ministry. And under the Jewish law, you had to be 30 years of age. And in Luke 3, verses 1 through 3, we see where John began his ministry. And I can't remember the king there. Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. Hopefully, you understand I'm having a problem with those words. And here it says in verse 3. And he came into all of the district around the Jordan, talking about John the Baptist in verse 2, preaching a baptism of repentance. Well, in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, and he began in 1814, is when, and we add 15 years to that, that takes us all the way to AD 29. And we know the significance of AD 29. That's the last of the 70 weeks. Our Lord was cut off in AD 33, which was the middle of that week. As a nation, they lost their polity, not as individuals. And from that point on, the Gentiles have been given an opportunity to come in. Well, these are promises that we believe that have already been fulfilled. Our Lord said it, and it occurred. Hosea 6, 1 and 2 again. That was the third day from the cross. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. Aren't we in the morning of the third day? Didn't he tell the church he was going to help her when? Right early. In Psalms, I forget, it's 45, 46, I can't recall. But he told the church, we are early in the morning of the seventh day. We should know what time it is when if we look at 11:25 of Romans.
And what does he tell us there? Blindness in part has happened until Israel. Until how long? Until the full number of the Gentiles be come in. And then so all Israel shall be saved. But we are in the third day, early in the morning. We are in the last day. We are in the seventh day. Just as God has promised. We're the third day from the cross. Let's look at some of these quickly here for all mankind. Again, the promises that were made in Genesis 12:3 and in 22:18 of all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Earth is going to be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Has that ever happened? It has not. And as a result of that, they're going to all know him, as we stated earlier. Does God not desire, in 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the Adamic penalty. Because of Adam, all die. Because of Christ, all shall be made alive. And it's God's desire that all men be saved first. Notice the sequence. And then brought into an accurate knowledge of the truth. But they have to be awakened first. Then he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. They're going to all know him. And because God said it. They're going to all know him from the least to the greatest. But again, not until Moses and Aaron, not until they came out of the Most Holy, were the families blessed. All of them were blessed. This will not happen until you finished your course and you made your calling and election sure. Think about that for a moment. Here again, of all of the people on this earth, how many know what you know? Not very many, brother. I know I can talk all day long outside of this hall here, and they think something is wrong with me. But to you, it has been given to know the mystery. Your ears have been blessed. Your eyes have been to see, and your ears to hear. We should be very sympathetic to the world of mankind, because to them it has not been given. In John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. But proper time application is so important over there. That would apply now. They are still in ignorance of God's divine plan. But eventually, after number 10, I don't see the numbers on the chart, but after number 10, that's when the blessings are going to occur. Not until the goat has been finished. The sacrifice has been finished. Not one word shall return to God. Not one word shall return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. Again, Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. What he has promised, what he is faithful, that promise. John 1:9 promises to the world. The true light which coming into the world enlightens Freeman Thompson. No, I didn't say that. It said every man. Well, what does that mean? They have to be brought into a knowledge of the truth, as we said in 1 Timothy 2:4 a moment ago. That's God's will. Now, if they sin willfully in Hebrews 10:26, after having an accurate knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sins remain. But how can they be condemned and they're not being judged yet for life or death everlasting? 1
Corinthians 6:2 tells us what? Do you not know that the saints are going to do what? Judge the world? The court is not in session yet. The judges are not seated. They're waiting for you. But the saints are going to judge the world. But they have to be, it has to be completed. They're no longer in the quarry. And then that's when they come out to bless all of mankind. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And you have been invited to be a participant. This is to you, not to the world of mankind. We have all of these PhDs, XYZs, and yet I find it very amazing. They can't get it. But it's to you it's been given. Blessed are your ears. Now that's a tremendous responsibility that we have, brethren. And it's a striving for me each day. Each day. But you know the beautiful part about it? That we have the throne of grace. And we have the robe of righteousness. We have the best cleaner that you could find. And that's all we have. Keep that robe clean and as often as you like, come to that throne of grace and ask for mercy, for grace to help. In every time of need. You have that blessing, brethren. Another thing, eventually, the blessings to the world, to come to all in God's future plan, is all wars shall cease. All wars shall cease. Has that ever occurred? Has that occurred yet? No. All evil will be suppressed. Brethren, what a promise. There shall be nothing to hurt nor destroy in God's kingdom. Let's listen, as we close here, listen to some of the blessed and inspiring promises that are given to the footstep followers of our Lord. Thine eyes shall see the King and His beauty. He's talking to you. Ye shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. I will give thee to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give thee a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it, in Revelation 2:17. And then the promise is to us, in Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always. These are yours for incentives to faithfulness. What did he promise back at the very beginning, back at his first? If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That was a long time ago, brethren. But that was talking to you also up on this end of the spectrum. We know he returned. His parousia was in 1874. And I think most of us would agree that he raised those sleeping saints in 1878. And there are those of us who are still on this side of the veil. But we know from 1878 onwards, what is it, in 13:14 of Blessed are the dead, 13:14 of Revelation, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Well, when did that occur? It has to be a date, from henceforth. I believe it was 1878. That's when a Jewish prime minister, in that promise to Israel, he's going to
I will bring you back on the third day. But we are on the third day early in the morning. Brethren, it has been a tremendous blessing for me to be here. And we know we have the precious promises that he has given us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. We know those. If ye do these things, though. See, it's about 4 minutes, brother. I'm going to close it out. But anyway, brethren, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, in 2 chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In Romans 8:17, as we close, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. May the Lord add his blessing.